Away, the science edition of Press Conference USA. Here's your host, Rick Pantaleo.
Jest Tech Eye is an annual competition that is open to scientists and entrepreneurs from nations with emerging economies. The competition is part of the U.S. State Department's Global Innovation Through Science and Technology, or Jest initiative. The contest is being implemented by the American Association for the Advancement of Science, or AAAS, located here in Washington, D.C. This year's competition opened on December 7, 2015, and some 1,075 contestants from about 104 countries entered this year's competition. Of those who entered, 102 people were selected as competition semifinalists. Each of the semifinalists has produced a 90-second promotional video that outlines their ideas and business concepts. After watching the videos online, people from all over the world get to pick this year's finalists via online balloting. Competition winners will get to be mentored and trained by successful entrepreneurs, scientists, investors, and venture capitalists, as well as receive some seed money to help them start or further build their science technology-based business. On today's Science Edition of Press Conference USA, we talk with Dr. Charles Dunlap of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Dr. Dunlap is overseeing the 2016 Jest Tech Eye competition, and he joins me today in our Washington, D.C. studio. Dr. Dunlap, what is the Jest Tech Eye competition?
The Tech Eye competition, or Technology Innovations, is a component of the Jest program, which Department of State runs. Jest stands for Global Innovation Through Science and Technology. So AAAS, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, has been running the Jest Tech Eye competition for the last 3 years.
Tell us a little bit about this global initiative.
The Global Innovation Through Science and Technology is a broad initiative of the Department of State to encourage and support entrepreneurs around the world. So this year, the Tech Eye competition, for example, was open to over 130 countries, and it's one of the elements of Jest, including boot camps to give young startups the information they need to really have a lean approach to getting going. And online seminars that are hosted by leading entrepreneurs to really exchange ideas between the U.S. and other countries on what is the secret sauce to entrepreneurship. And a new component, which is being piloted this year, which is networking workshops for science and technology entrepreneurs in sub-Saharan Africa, the Jest Women's Village workshops. And one of those just finished up in Cote d'Ivoire a few weeks ago.
Let's get back to the competition itself. Are there specific categories that applicants apply for within the competition?
In the past, there have been categories like agriculture, renewable energy, medical devices, but this year we opened it up to any type of technology-based entrepreneurship, and we've even had a few applications in new areas such as aerospace.
Who can participate in the competition?
This year it was open to over 130 emerging economies. That's an increase from about 80 in the last round. So it really varies from year to year. The Department of State decides going into the competition what the country list should be.
What are some of the requirements to enter the competition?
Well, you have to be from the age of 18 to 40 years old, and you have to have either an idea, some really great innovation that would be marketable, would solve a problem based on an interesting new technology, or a startup. You can already have gotten going in your business and even had some sales, but you need to expand. You need some of the mentoring, training, and exposure that the Tech Eye competition can provide.
Did you get many entries in this year's competition? How many?
We had over 1,000 entries this year, 1,075, which was a substantial increase from last year. Over the last 3 years, the interest in number of applications has increased by about 50%.
Where are most of the entrants coming from?
Well, we had, as a single region, the most entrants from East, Central, and Southern Africa, but West Africa was almost the same number. We've also had a good amount from the Middle East, from Latin America and the Caribbean, North Africa, Eurasia. So it's fairly well balanced.
You had mentioned a little briefly, a little earlier, about the various sectors, technological sectors involved. I think you mentioned like agriculture and now aerospace. What seems to be among the most popular of these technological sectors?
Well, information technologies is perhaps the single most, I don't know if you'd say popular, but we get the most applications in that sector. You know, folks are looking for ways to leverage the emerging availability of both smartphones and, you know, regular text-based phones to really reach out beyond capital cities and really solve problems throughout countries.
For people entering the contest, what are the prizes?
Well, it's a 9-month-long process through which they receive mentorship and advising from very well-experienced entrepreneurs. They receive a lot of exposure in their local markets and in their regions. And then 30 of the best ideas and startups come to the Global Entrepreneurship Summit, where they have a chance to talk with people who've had the experience, meet potential investors, and they do get training at the summit on pitching their ideas to very advanced audiences. And then, yes, a few folks will get prizes. They can range from, you know, $20,000 to $2,000 or $3,000. And it's not, however, the prize that's potentially the most important benefit of the program, but rather the whole process.
Tell us about your typical entrant into the competition.
Well, typically it's someone who's looked around her country, seen a problem, and taken the courageous step to promote a solution that she thinks will be helpful. Or sometimes she's just seen that, you know, she could make money and the technology she's envisioning would generate jobs, would generate, you know, build the national economy. So TechEye is meant to give people the hope and aspiration to pursue that dream. And it's meant to encourage folks in the country who see one of their peers taking this risk to also give it a try. And for some of the ideas and the information to transfer back into the country or region through the exposure and the process of the competition.
This seems to be a nice melding of business and technology. So I'm curious as to how the entrants are judged. I mean, how do they make it into the semifinals? What determines someone who's going to make it to the semifinals and someone who may not?
Our first job is to group the over 1,000 entries into categories, into panel groups, where we can recruit, as the American Association for the Advancement of Science, people with the technical expertise in the areas that they're applying. So we'll have a round of written reviews from panelists that give us a sense of whether the fundamental technology is sound. And the best ideas, the ones that are most innovative, the ones that have the greatest market potential, those go forward into the semifinalist group based on those reviews. Now, the semifinalist group, which was just announced, is going to be trying to generate the popular public support they also need as entrepreneurs. So that's the second phase of the competition. How do we generate interest as entrepreneurs from potential investors, customers, and other members of our personal boardroom, let's say? So that voting phase is just opened on April 1st, and anyone in the world can vote, and they can vote every day, once per day, and they can vote for multiple applicants per day. So if people want to go to justnetwork.org and go to the TechEye voting site, they can look through videos presenting these ideas or startup enterprises, choose the ones they think would be most beneficial, most likely to make money and help people. And they can every day vote for that same group. So the entrepreneurs will need to mobilize and generate this public interest, which is a core skill for them beyond their technical capacity.
In the voting, is there like a running score so that people can see who's leading and who's not?
That's a good question. The voting site is being reworked this year to be extremely stable to accommodate a very high volume of participation, and I'd have to check to see if it's going to show us a running score.
I guess what I'm alluding to is that way someone who may be behind in the voting may think of new ways to approach their idea, or can they do that?
During the voting phase, the semifinalists should be very active. I mean, we expect that they will be learning from previous successful finalists and pursuing all avenues of social media, face-to-face meetings, attendance at events, whatever works best, you know, to reach out to the folks that could support them. But that should be ongoing throughout the whole voting period.
Let's back up a little bit, if we can, Dr. Dunlap. Walk us through the steps. How would someone get involved with a competition from entry to possibly winning the competition?
Well, as long as you're in the relevant age group, 18 to 40, and you're in an eligible country, which is now over 130 this year, it's completely open. You know, one simply has to write a one-page summary of the idea or the startup, and then make a short video, 90 seconds video, and send it in. And that's really all there is to it.
You had mentioned that we're at the semifinalist stage of the competition. When did the competition actually start?
The competition was announced in, I think it was the end of November. And so it's open for, you know, a couple of months. And there's a big, big push through social media, through U.S. embassies abroad, through Department of State and AAAS partners. And so we try to get the word out as broadly as we can, especially the past finalists and semifinalists are very helpful in getting the word out in their countries because they know the opportunity is good.
So anyone who is listening right now who is interested in competing, they're going to have to wait till next November.
Yes. It's an annual competition, and there's no scheduled announcement date for the next one. So one should check the justnetwork.org website. I would say starting in the fall, but just, you know, keep an eye on it.
So anyone can actually enter it as long as they have an idea or a concept?
Right. I mean, the folks who might be entrepreneurs could be PhDs, but they could be recent grads who have a fantastic idea but haven't advanced in their degrees. You know, I don't want to get ahead of the program announcement. There are, you know, 18 or 20 different smaller specific requirements. You know, one has to you know, be a citizen of one of the countries and reside in one of the eligible countries, and other smaller issues that need to be checked. But
I'm curious, how are these countries selected to be among those involved?
Well, it's a decision of the Department of State based on, you know, the status of the country in terms of trying to advance its entrepreneurship and the potential to benefit from the program. So, you know, AAAS implements the program and has for the last few years, but we don't decide the eligible countries.
Dr. Dunlap, I know you had mentioned this briefly. I want to get a little more details on two things that is being offered to those participating in the competition, the GIST Regional Startup Bootcamp and the Global Entrepreneurship Summit, GES. Tell
right.
us about those.
Well, I'll start with the boot camps. Those are organized by another partner that implements that part of the GIST program, VentureWell. And those are organized throughout the countries that are eligible, and those countries are selected by the Department of State. The winners at the in the finals at GES, participants from those countries are typically invited, but the host country can be different. So, you know, on justnetwork.org, you can go and see what's the next country that would have a boot camp, and the application process will typically open a month or two in advance of the boot camp. And the boot camps teach a lean startup strategy. If you have an idea or you have a small enterprise, how do you, without waiting around for thousands and thousands of dollars of investment, really get it moving ahead and trial your viability, you know, without wasting too much money and time? Because, as we know, a lot of entrepreneurs are serial entrepreneurs. They don't just start one thing. Mm-hmm. They might start one and then try to start another, and perhaps out of the 3, 4, or 10 things they're involved in, a few move forward. And so they're constantly testing the waters. And so the boot camps are just that. They really give you a way to bootstrap your enterprise work. Now, the Global Entrepreneurship Summit is organized and run by the Office of Science and Technology Policy at the White House. So that's an initiative of the White House to bring entrepreneurs together, leading entrepreneurs from around the world every year. Last year it was in Nairobi, Kenya, and this year it will be at Stanford University in June.
As far as the past winners are concerned, do you keep touch with them as far as monitor their progress of their projects?
We do. We check in with them to see, you know, what they've achieved, what they've learned, you know, what sort of impacts they're having. And you know, I think we may be able to talk with a few of the past finalists and one of the current semifinalists to get a little more information about, you know, Did the Tech Eye competition benefit them? How did it benefit them? And broadly, what would be their advice to other entrepreneurs?
You're listening to the Science Edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm your host, Rick Pantaleo. Press Conference USA is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may also connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel, VOA, or send us an old-fashioned email to pcusa@voanews.com. We'll be back with more of our program after this.
Jazz America!
This is Russ Davis, and on my program Jazz America, I carry on the tradition begun decades ago by the great Willis Conover by exploring the wonders of a century of jazz history. I'll cover it all, from Dixieland to swing to bebop to modal, free jazz, fusion, world jazz, contemporary, and beyond. Plus, you'll hear the words of the artists themselves as they tell their incredible stories. Join me for Jazz America, Saturdays and Sundays at 13 hours Universal Time, online at voanews.com and the Voice of America.
We're back with the Science Edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Today, we're talking about the U.S. State Department's 2016 Global Innovation Through Science and Technology, or GIST TechEye Competition. My guest in studio today is Dr. Charles Dunlap of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Dr. Dunlap is overseeing the competition. Joining us now by telephone from Mexico is Carlos Bernal, who won first place startup in the 2015 GIST TechEye competition for his idea, the Glucose Alarm, a device that can help diabetes patients keep track of their glucose measurements. Carlos, can you tell us about this product and what led to its development?
Of course. Actually, Glucose Alarm, it's a device that is placed inside of the toilet bowl. Basically, we came to realize that, and just by talking to a lot of people, to a lot of patients, we actually realized that they just stopped measuring. They're not measuring almost at all. Like the people we knew and the people we start talking with, they were measuring once every 2 weeks or once per week or something like that. And after measuring, they don't know what to do with the number, and then we start looking at that, and we start talking to them, and then we say, there's something wrong here. They're not measuring. So when we start asking them why they weren't measuring, they say that basically they don't like the pricking procedure, mm-hmm. because one is painful. It's a complex procedure, and it's expensive. Like, they have to spend a lot of money by buying all the strips and all that. So we say, there's a problem here that we could do something to fix it. So we start working on this device, but we start working on it with trying to fix this particular problem. That's exactly why we decided to place our device is placed directly on the toilet, and it measures glucose levels on urine. So the only thing that the patient needs to do is to activate the device through its smartphone. It communicates through Bluetooth, so they just need to activate it with their phone. They go through the restroom, and then they get the results back on their phone. So we were trying to make it really simple to use. We were trying to stop all the complex procedures that they needed to do. So that's exactly why we decided to place it in the toilet, and we decided to use urine instead of blood.
Do you see your device as being a replacement for traditional testing methods?
No, we're actually not expecting that. We just want them to be able to measure. Like, patients need to measure a lot of times a day if they really want to control their glucose levels. Why? Because they need to understand how their body reacts to, like, food, for example, food intake, how their body reacts to exercise, to water intake, to medications, to sleep, to everything. So they need to slowly start to understand how their body respond to different things. So to do that, they need to be measuring like several times a day, but we're not trying to replace blood measurements, especially not for type 1s.
And finally, Carlos, in regard to your participation in the competition, I see that you're quite interested in passing along your experiences to and encouraging young people. What advice would you have to a young person who would like to enter the competition?
Well, I will advise them to try. I will advise them to anybody that has an idea. They need to stop what they're doing and try to do it. It's really hard. It's one of the hardest things they're going to do with their lives, but it's going to be worth it.
Hi, Carlos. This is Charles Dunlap from the American Association for the Advancement of Science. As you know, we implement the TechEye competition for the Department of State. And we've just started the voting phase for this year's semifinalists. I wanted to know what you might recommend that they do to get votes and get interest in their ideas to get the word out.
Well, what we did is we started with our family, of course, and then we started recording a couple of videos, and we started sending them out to a few schools that where we know people, and a few, especially when they're still at school, they have a lot of friends that they interact with. In our case, we were in the States while this happened, so our friends were in Mexico, and we were there going through the program, so we had to be sending them all the information through email or videos or everything. But, yeah, we were able to leverage our contacts through schools, for example, through people we knew on small cities close to my town. And my family, they were a huge support for us.
Wow, that's fantastic. Did you use any social media? I assume the videos were on YouTube, but maybe Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram?
Yes, we used a lot of Facebook, a lot of it. Mm-hmm. My brother is a doctor. He was just talking about it on Facebook with his friends and with a lot of people that he knew. So they were just passing the boys.
Wow, I hope your advice and insight will help this year's semifinalists. Anyone in the world, including you, could vote for them now at justnetwork.org. And the voting's open every day. You can vote again day after day for any number of finalists or semifinalists.
Thank you so much for joining us, Carlos.
Thank you for invitation.
That was Carlos Bernal, first place startup finalist in the 2015 GIST TechEye competition. Joining us now is Moano Campbell, who was the second-place startup finalist in the 2014 GIST TechEye competition. Moano is the managing director of .com Zambia, and his startup idea was Bus Ticket Zambia, a project that allows consumers in Zambia to book and pay for their intercity bus travel using a variety of methods. Moano, tell us first about the company you founded, .com Zambia, and then the idea that made you a finalist in the 2014 GIST TechEye competition.
.com Zambia is an IT company. I'm specializing in e-commerce in the Zambian market. The company itself actually started in 2009 when I lived in the U.S., and it grew out of a need for people wanting to shop off popular websites. If you think about the way, you know, we shop online off the Amazon and eBay, that was generally very difficult for people in Zambia to do. And so I sort of became a link for people being able to do that. And our e-commerce company grew out of that. And then as the company grew, I moved back to Zambia. And that really allowed me to assess what was happening on the ground. And I started to see additional opportunities in e-commerce itself. And one of the areas I really started to look at, especially when I became frustrated myself with how the bus ticketing system was in the country, I started to work on, you know, on this other division that we call Bus Ticket Zambia, which was really just a convenient way for people to buy their bus ticket. Because right now, the status quo is go to the bus station, buy your ticket, and then wait for the bus to leave. You could be waiting a couple of hours. You could be waiting a few minutes. You could even be waiting the entire day. So it was really just all about process improvement for the consumers.
So in other words, this would allow people to buy their tickets in advance and then go when the bus is actually due to arrive.
Correct, yeah. So what some of the more, because just to add some clarity to this, in Zambia and in Africa in general, the bus systems are not run by the government. It's not, even though it's a public need, it's run by private companies. So some of the private companies that have, you know, started to do well tend to run what you call time buses, a bus that will leave on time. But all that is still very manual. So what this allows you to do is say, tomorrow's bus is leaving at 11 o'clock. Rather than make my way all the way to the station, especially if you don't live in the city, can I use other methods, like going to an agent, using my phone, to actually buy my ticket in advance and then just show up on time and leave then?
Let's talk a little bit about your involvement with the GIST TechEye competition. Can you tell us about your experiencing and participating in the competition? What got you to enter, and what did you get out of the experience?
I actually entered it. I actually heard an announcement actually from the U.S. Embassy in the country. So they were talking about the competition. And, you know, it's one of those things you take a look and you're like, okay, you know what, let's just enter. Maybe nothing will come out of it. So I went in and I, you know, filled in the requirements. Then we hear that, you know, we've actually made it to the next round. And I think what followed was really, you know, I always look back at that particular competition as an entrepreneur. That became actually the game changer for us. Because what the competition forced us to do initially is, because it had public voting rounds, it made you basically go out, get PR. A lot of the media were willing to throw, oh, look at this young one working on this idea. And all of a sudden, we started to get a lot of this, you know, goodwill. And then when it came to the actual competition itself, first and foremost, we got this wonderful all-expense-paid trip to Morocco. But even in those sessions, we spent 3 days working with, you know, various coaches, various mentors, talking about different disciplines of our business. And while you might have been comfortable with some elements, there were always elements that made you think, okay, I never really considered that for my own business. And, you know, my big takeaway was obviously that the big PR was great, but I think even the business skills as well. And it's just funny that our company went on to do really good things after the competition, but TechEye was really the starting point for us, including the big investment that we were able to get a year after the TechEye competition.
And finally, Moano, the semifinalists have been selected and voting is going on right now. Yeah. The public has a chance to vote for the winners of the competition. What advice could you give the current semifinalists to get more votes?
I think the message, and actually a number of them, weirdly enough, have actually been reaching out. And what I'm saying to them is, capitalize on the opportunity. You may look at the whole voting process as, you know, it's something that you've got to, you know, it's a challenge, it's going to be an inconvenience, but it's really an opportunity. If you can use it to leverage goodwill, to teach people about the idea that you have, and use that to move your idea forward and build traction, you'll have tremendous benefits. And really the way to do that is obviously engage your community. Social media is a great way. I'm giving them tips on doing what we call voting parties, which is what I used to do. You go with a couple of iPads, you go to a public event, you talk to the general public, ask them to come up to the screen and actually vote. So I think there's a lot of outside-the-box thinking. Go to the TV stations, go to the radio stations, just tell them what you're doing, and no one wants to say no to a young entrepreneur who's trying to make things happen. And I think leverage that goodwill, and that's really my tip to the new group as they get ready for the voting round.
Moano, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Rick.
That was Moano Kembel, second place startup winner in the 2014 GIST TechEye competition. Dr. Dunlap, if you were to address all of this year's semifinalists, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would say to be as active as you can imagine to get the voting for your idea or startup, get the momentum built up. Talk to the U.S. Embassy, get it on their website, work with Facebook, Twitter, social networks in your country, friends, families, universities, other institutions. You know, the voting on justnetwork.org is ongoing throughout the month. And like I said, you can vote for a whole block of applicants this year. Every day you can vote again for the same group. So get the word out and be active and be confident. Don't sit idle, because we'll be choosing 30 finalists to come to the Global Entrepreneurship Summit hosted in Silicon Valley in June. And we hope that, you know, we'll have the 30 best who can really generate the public interest in their entrepreneurial ideas.
Charles Dunlap, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about this wonderful competition.
And thank you from the American Association for the Advancement of Science. It's always a pleasure.
That was Dr. Charles Dunlap of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, who was overseeing this year's GIST TechEye competition. Don't forget, you can help select this year's competition finalists by voting online through May 1st at gistnetwork.org and click on the TechEye semifinalist link. And I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this science edition of Press Conference USA. I'm Rick Pantaleo. Join us again next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.